So lately, I've been thinking about this story I heard. It was something that happened to a friend of a friend. He spent years trying to find the right career path until he finally stumbled into teaching at age 35. And he loved it. He taught special needs students, and he loved it so much that he poured all of his time and energy into it. As the school kept ramping up his workload, asking him to teach more subjects and tests on more materials, he kept saying yes, even when it meant his work was taking over his entire life. After all, this was his dream job. But eventually, the pressure got to be too much and the environment became toxic. One day, he did something unexpected, even to him. He walked out of his classroom and he never came back. To put it simply, he burned out. He had been teaching for 28 years. I'm haunted by this story because it feels a little too familiar.
Record narration. Insert narration.
Every night before I go to bed, I reach for my legal pad and I start writing down a list of things I need to do for the show tomorrow.
I have a call at 12 and a meeting at 2.
When my alarm goes off at 4:45 a.m., I know I'm a bit of an early bird. I intuitively grab my list and bring it into the bathroom with me. It sits next to me as I brush my teeth. Millennial is the last thing I think about before I go to bed and the first thing I think about in the morning. People often ask me, how does it feel to do a show about your personal life? And I can tell you, it's not easy. Because my work is about my personal life, it's hard to detach work from my personal life. When I'm out with friends, I'm always asking myself, can this conversation be used in an episode? And when my boyfriend Ben and I are together, all we do is talk about work. Every time my phone buzzes, I can feel my blood pressure rise because I know it's work knocking on my door. I wish I could find a switch to detach my personal life from my work life. Because I'm nervous. Okay, I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I don't find that switch, the light won't go on forever, and it'll eventually burn out. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast that I think about a lot. Probably because it's about coming of age and maneuvering your 20s, and I'm doing both of those things right now. Up until this point, I've been running toward my career. But now that I'm starting to settle in, I wonder, how do you strike a work-life balance? How do you flip off the work switch so you can keep flipping it back on? Finding a job you're passionate about is a little bit like falling in love.
All of me. Why not take all of me?
You become obsessed, you start planning your future, and you want to spend all of your time with it. But after the honeymoon period, you start to realize if this is going to last, you have to pace yourself. I'll be honest, I have no idea how to do this. I'm in love with making Millennial, and I get obsessed with each episode. So how do I sit my career down and have a hard talk about boundaries?
You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me?
After another weekend gets eaten up by way too much work, I decide I need to talk to someone who's been doing this a lot longer than I have. Someone who has advice on how to pace this relationship. How many years have you been doing radio and podcasting?
So I've been doing podcasting. It'll be 10 years in January 2017.
Meet Helen, another host and producer.
It feels like so much longer.
Helen is a part of my Radiotopia family.
This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, click my linguistic heels together three times.
She hosts and produces a podcast called The Illusionists and co-hosts and produces another called Answer Me This. Helen and I have similar jobs, but the difference between us is I've had my own show for 2 years, though I've only been working on it full-time for 5 months, and she's had hers for 10. She's also responsible for making 2 shows, one every week. And between those 2 shows, she appears to be going strong. After you were able to podcast full time, was there a moment where you felt like you had burnt out?
Yes, I mean, moments just constantly.
Oh, good. Thank God I'm not the only one.
I always feel so close to a physical or mental collapse, pretty much. But I am producing a show a week at the moment between my 2 shows. And it just means that as soon as I finish one, I have to start work on the other one.
So how does she keep this going week after week?
I think it can be physically quite unhealthy to be spending the amount of time we have to spend just looking at a computer, at a waveform of our own voices. And you need to get outside and use your muscles and interact with other people and talk about other things. And when you feel like you should always be working, it can be difficult to remind yourself that those are essential things to do. Taking time off is essential. So when you do it, just make the decision that you're not going to talk to yourself during that time off with the thought that you should be working.
How does she know my life? This happens to me all of the time.
The other thing is that I just remind myself that my work is not that important, really. It's very important to me to do it well and to give the listener a good time. But on a global scale, very insignificant. And I just find that very reassuring. And is that bad?
Kind of like Google zoom out a little bit, like
yeah. I Google zoom out on my own conscience, and that kind of helps. Even if it's your dream job, it doesn't mean it has to feel great all the time. You haven't failed at it if it doesn't feel great all the time. And even if it was, failure is all right. And I think this is something that has been easier and easier to accept the older I get. Definitely felt when I entered my 30s. I just didn't give a shit about a lot more things, and that was very liberating because I didn't feel that I had to prove myself as much.
I like that. I like that.
Something to look forward to.
Just cross over into your 30s and care a lot less about, like, just a little less about things.
Yeah. Maybe get that embroidered onto something and put it on your wall.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit about
things. Yeah. Maybe that could be a t-shirt. Not to take yourself too seriously. I think that's good.
Yeah.
As I'm making this episode that you're listening to right now, I take some time to shut down my computer and go for a walk. I focus my brain on the sounds that are around me, and I try my best not to think about work or how I should be doing work. As I walk around, I see people in my community scurrying about with babies and dogs, and it's nice to know that they don't know anything about my show, and they don't really care about it, because they have other things on their mind. It's also comforting to know that I'm not the president of the United States, or that my actions don't really impact whether or not someone lives or dies. I'm making a podcast, and even though it means a lot to me, in the big scheme of things, I'm tiny. But then my phone buzzes. Another work email pops up, and I realize perspective is great, but I still need to figure out how to deal with the day-to-day grind. I know exactly who I need to call. Like you would say, work and your life are just like one, right?
It is. So I don't change my clothes. Like I have 30 of these thick t-shirts.
This is Renz. I know him by way of Ben, my boyfriend. They used to live in the same town together. And about 3 years ago, he and his wife, Law, opened up Styx, an Asian fusion restaurant, in the same small Ohio town where everyone knows each other's name. Well, almost everyone.
So the mayor calls me the Styx guy. Like, she doesn't know my name, but she knows me as Styx guy.
I know Renz works crazy hours, and he's under a lot of stress, especially as a restaurant owner.
I remember my first month sale, the whole month was $4,000. That's awful.
electricity was $1,000, the rent was $1,000, people's pay was, oh my gosh, it's like $1,000 a week. I was losing money. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
But when all of this was happening, I had no idea. When we were hanging out, getting drinks, or playing volleyball, Renz never seemed stressed. And I want to know, how does he do it? What would you say was a specific moment where you felt the most burnt out?
I would say I'm always on edge just having a business. Like, I'm a full glass of water. You touch me a little bit, I'm going to spill, you know?
What do you think is happening when you feel like the scale is tipping over?
For me, being burned out is just like, I will have a really, really bad attitude towards work. I yell at people. It's not directly to that person. It's the stuff that they're doing. Like, I don't like the way you cut that. I don't like the way you do this. But instead of me saying like, hey man, can you, okay, I want 2 inches, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm very, very snappy and direct to the point. And La tells me, it's like, Renz, no one's going to stay and work for you if you do that. Calm down.
Renz has La in the same way that I have Ben. And I wonder if they talk about work as much as we do.
La and I constantly talk about work. We talk about how to make it better all the time. Like, there's no switch that you can turn off.
What? What do you mean you can't turn off the switch?
I cannot escape.
Well, at least we know we're not alone. But Renz does have a switch. Literally.
So on the weekends, I do not answer my phone.
Boom. What a concept. I've actually found this really difficult to do. But Renz is strict about it.
So when it hits 9 p.m., Saturday till Monday, 9 a.m., you cannot reach me.
He tells me there's a do not disturb option on your phone that you can set so you only receive messages and phone calls from certain people after a certain time, which I admit, I definitely didn't know about until this conversation.
The only people there was my dad, La, my brother, my mom, Allie.
For the rest of the world, you're going to voicemail. Renz is also really strict about taking a day off. What did you do last Sunday?
We stayed on the patio. I cook a lot of food. I cooked chicken, like ribeye strip, T-bone. I made like...
Oh my gosh, Renz.
That's so much food. It's insane. Grilled peaches, grilled mushrooms.
Renz starts to trail off, and I find myself daydreaming about his cookout. That's all it took. Really? A click on your phone and poof, work is gone. Do not disturb. 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. When I get off the phone with Renz, I immediately look into this do not disturb option on my phone. And I also think about trying to implement one day a week where I cannot be reached. I think I'll call them no cell phone service days. I'm done with work for the day.
That's great.
Yeah. I want to turn on my do not disturb thing on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah. We can hang out.
That's great.
Yeah. Aren't you excited? It feels comforting to literally flip on a switch I didn't know I had. So the buzzing of my phone has a cutoff point and I can give myself space to breathe. But what about creative space to breathe? I'm going to talk to someone who feels the pressure of multi-million dollar actors and multi-million dollar media companies resting on her shoulders. But before I talk to her, we're going to take a quick break. Support for Millennial is provided by Away, makers of first-class luggage at a Coach price. I've never owned a carry-on before, mostly because I'm a backpack girl. But when I received an Away carry-on, I immediately started checking out its features, and I'm pretty sure I can't go back to a backpack. There is an easy lock system, a collapsible dirty laundry bag, and this is my favorite, it'll charge your phone. What? Say goodbye to hunting down outlets and power up cell phone crowds. There's also a lifetime warranty, meaning if anything breaks during your life, they will fix it. What? And there's free shipping within the United States. Millennial listeners will receive $20 off their purchase. Just go to awaytravel.com/millennial, two L's, two N's, and use the promo code millennial at checkout. Every single time I make an episode, I feel like I'm walking up to a blank canvas and there's pressure on me to make a masterpiece. Sometimes it feels like I have to pull from a treasure chest of ideas that eventually will go dry. And 5 months in, I'm wondering, how do I make sure this doesn't happen? When I was in college studying photography, I met Kendrick. She's a professional photographer whose work is constantly growing and diversifying.
Can you run through, like, off the top of your head, the people that you photographed this year so far?
Eva Longoria, David Duchovny, Jillian Anderson, Chelsea Handler, Ryan Seacrest, Mindy Kaling, Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
This is Kendrick. She's been a professional photographer for 11 years. When we met, she was already a pretty big name in the photojournalism industry. But now, when you open up the New York Times and see photos of celebrities, chances are they were taken by Kendrick and her husband. Even now, as I scroll through her portfolio online and look at her work, I think, damn, this girl is good. She makes it look effortless. But I know each photo is supported by a list of creative decisions and that it's not easy. Every single time she takes a photo, it's like she's walking up to a blank canvas as well. And I want to know, how does she keep refreshing her ideas? How does she maintain her creative spirit when this thing that she loves is also her job?
Did you ever romanticize freelancing?
Never.
Why?
It was almost damaging to me to become a freelancer because I got so stuck about everything I create has to have an end goal, has to be for money.
But I still feel like you must have gone in to freelancing like guns a-blazing. Do you still experience times where you get burnt out?
Absolutely. Well, I think there's two kinds of burnout. There's burnout from not creating because you're just so stuck in your head and you don't know what to do next, and it's becoming a thing instead of it just being like a process of moving forward. You just get stuck. And there's also a burnout from over-creating, and that could be like bad time management or just like too much work on your plate.
I think about that legal pad that I fall asleep next to and wake up to every morning. Every day, it feels like that list isn't getting any shorter.
And I think that's often what my thing is where I've just got too much to do that I'm not setting aside and making the time to do something that really makes me happy or just to go create just for the sake of creating.
I don't really set that time aside either.
I find myself also just like hitting walls, you know, and being like, how do I change my mindset if I'm going to run this marathon? And I wonder, for somebody who's been doing this for longer, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think it's two things. One, it's to keep creating when there's no audience, and to keep creating when there's no paycheck. 20 minutes a day, go interview the guy at the coffee shop just because you like want to hear a story,
yeah,
you know?
No, that's good. I like, you know, that. And I may not do anything with that.
Exactly. Just be gentle on yourself and be gentle with your creativity and be gentle with that spark, because so many people burn out where they just quit. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to not quit, because that is like, that's my main love in my life. You have to nurture it. You have to like hug it. You have to like water it. You have to take care of it, because it's not only is your sanity, but it's like your passion. And if you damage it now, you know, you're going to have to like fix it later. Just keep reminding yourself of why you started and what that feeling was and how do you get back to that place? Because that was the whole point.
I think about why I started making Millennial. And I remember I love obsessing over story structure and having an excuse to talk to strangers. But Kendrick is right. Maybe I need a little side thing. Because the side thing that I used to have is now my full-time job. And I need to make something that doesn't have a lot of pressure attached and doesn't need to be published. As I record this narration, I look behind me and I see my camera. I haven't touched it to do a project in years. So who knows? Maybe I'll cook up a little project, a little something-something. That's just for me. This idea of being gentle on yourself is definitely something that I need to hear. Like Kendrick was saying, I don't want to damage this thing that I love in my life. I don't want to end up like that teacher I heard about, who got fed up, burned out, and literally walked away from something that brings him joy.
Yeah, growing up, I did not like school.
This is Eric. He's that teacher.
So I was able, as a teacher, to make changes that made it more fun and palatable and understandable.
You wanted to change the system that you didn't like.
Yes, I did.
Can you talk about a point where you experienced being burnout?
I think it happens slowly. It was like an erosion. It's like, you know, I have this image of, you know, water dripping on limestone and slowly wearing the stone away. That's what it felt like. I can do anything for a while. I can work 18 hours a day for a week. I can't do that for a month. I can't do that for a year. I can't. And to me, that's what this whole erosion, once again, in hindsight, felt like. You know, I went and I went and I went and I went and then no more. And it was one day, period, done.
I want to talk to Eric because I do feel the slow erosion that he's talking about. And I don't want to burn out. So I want to know what to look for and what to change before it's too late. If you could give any guidance to someone like myself who's on this road and who's asking herself, like, how am I going to pace myself? What would you say?
I would say, you know, to periodically, you know, put it in your calendar every 3 months. Pick a time, 6 weeks, doesn't matter. Stop and take time to just do a systems check on yourself. Do things seem balanced? Am I working too much? What are my relationships like? Are they, you know, dissipating? Am I doing my, you know, the things that I love, my hobbies, my activities, my, you know, am I running or doing whatever? Or have I stopped doing that? I stopped. Holy moly. You're in the middle of the rapids and you're paddling like hell and you never pull over to the side to, you know, see if the boat's got a hole in it or not. And I think it's easy if you don't take those little timeouts to just keep going and going and going and going. And then, you know, you sometimes reach a point of no return.
But it doesn't feel like Eric has reached a complete point of no return. You're kind of teaching right now.
Well, I still teach. Yeah, that never goes away.
If I want to be a producer for a while and tell narrative stories using audio, I have to make sure the rest of my system is working in conjunction with my life. So I do something I've never done before. I run through Eric's list of questions and I try to answer them myself. Do things seem balanced? No. Am I working too much? Yes. What are my relationships like? Well, I wish I could talk to my mom more, visit my family more often, and have more time to make new friends. Am I doing the things that I love? Yeah, I am. But I used to be a dancer. And that's something I miss. So maybe I'm only partially doing the things that I love. As I'm making this episode, there's one day where I spend 15 hours working and I can feel myself getting crispy, aka burned out. I would usually push through it. Tell myself that this is what it takes. But I stop myself and I think, I can't burn out making an episode about burnout. That would completely miss the point. So I pause. I push the do not disturb button on my phone like Ren's taught me. Close my eyes and remember where I am on a Google map like Helen said. And then I start to move some furniture. What are we gonna listen to? Right now, I don't have time to take a dance class. But that doesn't mean I can't have a dance party by myself.
Can we get some Yonsei? Can we get some old school Yonsei?
That'll be my own piece of advice. When you start to feel crispy, put on some throwback music and do that thing that you used to do before the bills, before the emails, and before you had a career. This is the thing that I have to do, just for me.
I love this song.
Editing for this episode was provided by Devin Taylor and Ben Severance. The voices you heard were Helen Zaltzman, Ren Salonga, Kendrick Brinson, and Eric Boyer. Special thanks to Bren Anderson, Eve Edelheit, Amber Phillips, Rick Cox, Alan Jones, Meg Rousseau, Diego Rosenblatt, and India Rose. Now, here's my question to you. I'd like to make a master list for all of us to use for our lives now and into the future, and I need your help. How do you prevent yourself from burning out? If you have your own tricks, tell me about them. Sign on to Twitter and tweet at MillennialPDCST, like podcasts, but without the vowels. To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Also, if you want to support the show and keep the lights on in my studio closet, become a sponsor. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.